Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
All right, so if you guys haven't figured out, you've tuned into Power Athlete Radio, the premier podcast in strength conditioning.
Are we rolling?
Yeah, we are rolling. Aren't we always rolling? Isn't this the B-roll? Isn't this
yes,
what people
Tubin, plug? Always record.
God damn it. Man, that whole CNN thing is such a disaster. Every day that comes out, there's like some new thing. Now that they got Chris Cuomo, basically like was using his media influence to try to gather information on the accusers of his brother, which feels a little illegal and just kind of unethical, but... You know, it's CNN. You know, he always has that look on his face like a lost puppy who's somehow learning new information. God, Chris Cuomo's a piece of shit.
And back to...
Oh, the Premier Podcast. Yeah, the Premier Podcast of Strength Conditioning. We have a special treat today. We have our Nutrition Ninjas, Rob and Sam, on the podcast to help us answer a few questions from the ever-so-hot hotline. And so for those of you guys that are new, we have this little thing called the Power Athlete Radio Hotline where you can call and leave questions and we will respond to them. And that number is 929-464-464-0. 929-ing-ing-0. Got it. You got it. So we haven't actually dropped the hotline for a hot minute in the podcast, but it's still alive and kicking. We still get questions. The problem is around the holidays, they're kind of weepy. There's a lot of tears, a lot of black keys playing in the background. And we're going to answer a few of those questions, so let's lay into one.
Yes, well, this one is directed from all the collection of questions we receive from our nutrition protocols.
Mm.
And John, what are those nutrition protocols?
Well, we have our leaning protocol, which is for those of you guys that want to get your shred on. We got our bulking protocol for those that you want to get your bulk on. And then we have the keto protocol, which was a modified anabolic diet that I put together with Dr. DePasquale. Probably the best one we have is called the performance protocol, where you book an assessment, you book a call, book a consult, and then Sam or Rob take you through actually your customized version of the templates, which I think is the best value. You get a chance to work with somebody, and they give you the information, they set it up for you, they make it really easy, drag and drop, and get you on your way, a little pat on the butt, and get you out there kicking ass.
And the first three protocols are in place for... the empowered, strong-willed person.
Yes. Well,
but that's not everybody.
No, I mean, the protocols when we came up with them were just kind of an easy fix. Like, hey, if you need direction, here's a protocol. But there was always a feeling that they were almost kind of like a fishing lure. Like, we're going to throw it out there, let people get on the protocols. And then the idea is once they get into it, they realize that they need somebody to guide them on this journey. And that's where the nutrition team comes in, is really guiding people on this journey. Not to say you can't do it by yourself, but they say if you want to go fast, go solo. If you want to go far, go with the team. And bringing our team on allows you to go very, very far and reach your goals.
So let's explore this a little bit. To Rob and Sam, what are some of the first moments that you get an opportunity to work with somebody to express the value of nutrition coaching services?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we offer is accountability. You know, that's why you, like John always refers to, if you can follow a spreadsheet, you can follow a protocol or a budget, right? If you want to become a millionaire, you probably need a financial planner, someone to help you with that budget. Same thing with nutrition. If you want, anyone can follow a spreadsheet, but we provide that accountability and those check-ins and to make sure you're trending in the right direction, whether that's leaning or bulking or performing, whatever it is. We are helping monitor to make sure it's not going too fast and not going too slow. And we're in your corner for whatever questions you have.
And I think to kind of expand on that too, it's really some of the value that that Sam and I would add, or any coach, is the ability to kind of ask you questions about what we see. Because I think sometimes, you know, we see it when people are exercising, you know, they don't know how they move, right? So having a coach's eye is certainly something that's valuable, and having a coach's eye overlooking your check-ins and, you know, seeing the trends and asking about the trends and asking, you know, what do you think's going on here kind of things. And also keeping them part of the process, I think, is also one of the values that we have too.
Let's expand there. What is including them in the process of their nutrition entail?
Well, I think, you know, we don't want to just set it and say, hey, you're going to do exactly what I say. They need to be part of the process as well, because they need to own it. You know, if they're not part of the process, then they're just being told what to do, which is something that's valuable. However, if we want it to stick and for it to be sustainable for them for, you know, really a lifetime, then they have to be part of the process. And that's just where we come in and question it and have them see what we see, right? So if we're starting to see this trend, you know, one of the big trends you see with people is this whole, I'm really good Monday through Friday, and then this just, you know, wheels off weekend. And it's like, hey, I don't know if you've noticed this, but, you know, your weight always goes up on Monday and goes down by Friday or something like that, you know. And it's really getting them to kind of realize it just by asking questions and getting them to see the trends as well.
No, I mean, just the law of averages. I mean, if you, and I think for you guys, especially to taking people through this and looking at it and being like, hey, if you're trying to consume, you know, to lean out, you know, 2000 calories, let's say a day, and all of a sudden you get to the weekend and you're like, oh, I'm going to have a cheat meal here. Next thing you know, you bump it up to 3,500 calories. Now you're in like a, you know, 3,000 calorie surplus over what we planned. I mean, that's adding an extra day and a half to that whole total. And I think people don't realize that, you know, when you're trying to get in caloric restriction, it's really hard to get into it by like 1,000 or 1,500 and still train at a high level. So what's good is just trying to figure out that amount and then how to get them there. And then they go in and just fucking jump off the rails and have a bunch of cheat days. And unfortunately, like when people, at least in the beginning, I think people have this idea of reward system where they... I've done well for 5 days. I somehow owe this to myself. And I think what you guys do a great job is working through the psychology of being like, you don't owe, first of all, nobody owes you anything. We have a goal to get to. Let's be smart on this goal. And if we can reach and hit some mile markers, we can do this. And just really giving people this like concrete, almost like a, like not a carrot and stick, but just like, hey, like this is where we're going. This is what we want to do. My job is to keep you accountable and help you navigate this.
Yeah, it's breaking the cycle. Right. It's that breaking that cycle of, I mean, because honestly, you know, a lot of times they come to us with really knowing a lot of what to do. It's just the matter of they're, you know, have maybe implementing it has like, or even like any of the protocols, right? Like you can have all the information there, but implementation is sometimes difficult. And so, you know, having a extra set of eyes to be able to break that cycle and realize, hey, you can't go off the rails every weekend. You know, you do have to actually have some, you know, a streak of weekends where you don't go off the rails, at least to see that progress. And like you said, John, you know, you're not owed a celebration because you did 5 days in a row, right? Maybe you can have a celebration if you've done 6 weeks in a row or something like that. But, you know, the 5 weeks or 5 days in a row, that's just a good start, really. So it's not something to celebrate. It's actually something to acknowledge that you did, but you also need to be able to realize that you probably need to make it 7 days, 14 days, 21 days or whatever to actually see the progress that you want to see.
When you guys start working with clients, is that something that you lay out to them ahead of time? Like the expectation, like, hey, you know what? I know these are some of the road bumps we're going to run into. I know you're going to feel like this. If we can get to this, like, for example, like you're going to feel great after a week we've been doing this, and you might have the idea like, hey, man, I should go out and celebrate a little bit. But like, let's celebrate once we get to the finish line. And so do you guys start kind of building in that psychology and almost that expectation to try to head that off at a pass?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason the protocol or the nutrition coaching starts with 3 months, because anyone can accomplish something in 30 days, especially if you have a coach with you. But really the first, at least with my clients, I'd say the first 2 weeks is just figuring out their new habits that we're implementing, and figuring out maybe they have started, I know you hate this, but counting their macros or weighing and measuring their food or
I think everybody needs plate. To do it. I think everybody needs to do it just to have a frame of reference, because most people fucking have no concept of how much they're eating.
No, you'll be like, oh, I had a bag of this, or, you know, you're pulling yogurt out of a container, but are you having, you know, one scoop or are you eating half of the container? Meat packages are a little easier because it'll at least give you the raw weight, but things that come out of a bulk container, you should be weighing and measuring. Otherwise, I don't know about you, but I could eat like 5 cups at night and be like, oh, I don't know why I feel like crap the next day. But you know, definitely it gets, there's a lot that goes behind it. There's a lot of habits that people within the 3 months don't realize that they're doing, like justifying those, you know, little wins where it's like, oh, I just drink wine on Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you're like, okay, you're drinking 4 nights out of the week, you know, like, or you have client parties, different things that are coming up. So through the process, new goals arise, and it's Rob and I in our check-ins. So you have to do your check-ins and tell us what you're finding. We can work through those and come up with unique solutions for everybody.
Well, let's check in on those check-ins. What do those involve? Yeah. Is it a simple, hey, how you doing? Or do we have strategic opportunities in place?
Like, stop what you're doing.
To pull.
Go to the bathroom, nude up, and take me a picture and send it to me right the fuck now. And then I want a second picture of you on the scale because I know you're off the rails. And I'm sorry.
that might be a little aggressive. But.
That was actually my style of nutrition coaching, where I would just text them and be like, fucking stop what you're doing. Go take me a nude selfie, preferably with underwear, and show me how far you've fallen, because we got to get you back on the fucking rails. I'm going to send in a fucking strike team to get you. They'd be like, that was aggressive, and it was also really expensive to have me do that. So it's
not necessarily costly. Yeah, I think it depends, right? Like, oh, sorry, Rob, you were going to say something, but I'm going to continue. Some people need that, right? Like, they need the fire to be like, do this now. Where are you at? You haven't done your weight. You haven't sent your weight in 2 weeks, and that's really important to you or whatever. And then I know this person listens to the podcast, and she has been so amazing to work with. But for her, it's like, hey, dial back from the scale. We don't need to step on it. And I've actually forced her to stop weighing and measuring her food. So it's really figuring out that balance of who is your client, what do they respond to, and kind of what personality of coach do you need to be? Like, you kind of chameleon to that person a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah. It's, with the check-ins, I certainly, like, the things that I want to see is, you know, how do you feel? Are you hungry? Are you full? I mean, and, you know, that all kind of depends on what your goal is. How's your training? Cause that's also important too. Like, you know, are you feeling weak? Are you feeling strong? Are you feeling fueled? Are you feeling recovered? You know, what's your sleep like? And, you know, really kind of getting into a little bit more of that. And then we start from there. And like Sam said, you know, as you go along, you start to see, you know, what does this person need, right? Do they need to be pushed? Do they need a text message in the morning and say, hey, keep it real today, right? Or do they need, or are they, as Sam said in our presentation at the Block One Thing, are they a fire and forget, right? Like, you can just set them on their way, and they just blossom with it. So you have to kind of, you know, after you have really figured out through that coaching relationship how they respond and what you need to be, then, you know, then you start to really fire. And sometimes it takes a couple of weeks to get there. But, you know, and then you also see, you know, what are their habits? Like Sam said earlier, right? Habits are super important. You know, for some people, I think one of the biggest things that they could really stand to do is just really be mindful in how they eat. Because I think most people, it's eating is almost just another distraction that we have, because we have so many distractions in today's world, phones and emails and all that. So, you know, a lot of people are sitting at work eating their food, you know, answering emails and sending text messages. They are not mindful at all what they're doing. So for us, that's us pointing that kind of stuff out. Hey, you know, you need to take 10 minutes and just really focus on how you're eating, and focus on chewing on the food, and focus on what's in front of you. Even savor the food, for crying out loud, right? It shouldn't be eating food shouldn't be this just fuel stop, right? There should be some taste and enjoyment out of it too, right? It shouldn't just be something that's something you just throw down your gullet and you just go on, right? You should savor it, right? It has taste.
No, just fucking unhinged jaw. I could fucking care less at this point. I mean, other than like maybe like an amazing turkey on Thanksgiving, but for the most part, like, I don't know. I think you know, like what you guys do a good job too, especially with like, you know, Sam, you know, posts a ton of recipes, trying to make things interesting. For me, I could care less at this point. Like, just like if a magic elf just showed up and like when I opened the cupboard, handed me the food, I wouldn't even care what it is. Just like let me know that it hits my macros and it's salty and there's a water with it. Like that's about all I care about.
Well, that's kind of an involved position though, right? I mean,
yeah, like I wanted Dobby the house elf, remember from Harry Potter?
Yeah.
You know, he like has like a fucking cloth on. He's like, here's your food, and I like shut the door. Maybe we get Harry Heppenstall just live in my fucking cabin and he can just hand me food.
Well, he's got to hide from the green card.
I'm hoping Harry can just come to visit and just never go back. I heard if you come here under duress, you're going to get like $500,000. So he's got to get here, but he's got to go to Turkey. I was looking for it. You got to go to Turkey first, then you got to get here.
Sam, and how important are the recipes that you're presenting on the Power Athlete blog? Are they inspired by your clients, or are they your drive to encourage your clients, hey, this is how I'm going to teach you to cook through these blogs?
Yeah, I think it's more a drive to teach people how to cook, because growing up, I was from the Midwest, so everything was like a casserole. Like, I get made fun of so much for our casserole dishes, cream of mushroom, cream of whatever type of soup with like chicken and cheddar cheese. You know, if you're from Indiana, you know what I'm talking about. But
it sounds awful.
Or Ohio.
It's terrible.
Or Ohio.
Casserole.
Casserole.
Well, like yeah. That's a big thing in the Midwest is the casserole, huh?
Casserole. Like my Thanksgiving there was corn casserole, egg casserole.
and even in New Year's, sometimes a spam casserole, which is really, really disgusting.
Boy, now you're really talking about living.
that's some living. Hey, small town Ohio.
When was the last time you had spam?
Probably when I was like 9.
One of my college roommates was real into it, big surfer guy. So that was his delicacy.
So spam, the Hawaiians like spam.
Yeah.
So the last time I probably had spam, I think I had fried rice, egg fried rice with spam in it. And this is probably 20 plus years ago. And I still remember how awful it is.
Spam fried rice.
I don't know if I've ever had spam.
It's like...
I mean, it's like canned meat.
It's like a salty gelatin meat
cube
that's not really meaty. It's like, I don't even know how to describe it.
It has been over-processed through a meat grinder.
So are you asking for me to create a spam recipe? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
No.
I'm just
kidding. But what is like, is it pork?
Yes, maybe.
I think it's pork.
I think it's like I think it's a combination.
Like a hot dog.
Was it ever pork?
I think it was a hybrid. Like a hybrid of meats.
Well, it's got to have some ham in it, right? I mean, that's part of the spam, right?
Well, it's... Oh, spam.
But there's no H.
Yeah, but it's like...
It's a rhyming word.
Well, it's like
every meat.
Well, the thing that I like is spam is not only a meat product, but it's also what we refer to as the crap that gets sent in our emails. Like, I get spam emails, and it's also a meat. So I wonder what came first. Oh, obviously the meat. They're like, this is awful. What does this remind you of? Spam.
Introduced in 1937 is a cooked pork. Gained popularity worldwide after its use during World War II. By 2003, spam was sold in over 41 countries on 6 continents and trademarked in over 100. Basic ingredients. It's a longer list than I anticipated.
Just pork, give us the top 10.
Pork, salt, water, modified potato starch, sugar, sodium nitrate.
So it's gluten-free then?
I guess it's a gelatin.
Yeah, it's like a gelatin meat.
But I wouldn't eat that if you have any sort of manic personality disorder. Did you? There's a study that said nitrates increase like manic episodes by 300%. So,
you know, there's... Man, I remember like back when we were in the food business, there was all this kind of fear of nitrates. And I remember Rob Wolf did this like super deep dive and like there was really no correlation between everything. And then I remember asking Dr. Tom about it. He's like, maybe the science doesn't, but just anecdotally, the countries that have the highest consumption of nitrates have like these problems. And he kind of like drew it through and he's like, I don't know, like, you know, if it's evidence-based or science-based, but he's like, the evidence is pointing to... overconsumption of nitrates is not beneficial, even though maybe the peer-reviewed scientific literature doesn't necessarily support it. So it's
signs of manic behavior. I had to look this up, Sam. Shit. Less sleep, risky behavior, irritability, flight of ideas, rapid speech, and hypersexuality.
So what's going on with you?
I don't know. I got manic. I am a manic episode.
Well, I mean, don't they have the manic and then, like, don't they have, like, the depressed? Like, isn't it, like, an up and down where, like, you know, one minute you're laughing, giggling, the next minute you're crying?
Isn't that called parenthood?
So the guy who, I'm not going to use his name, Brian Shields, who was...
it's too obvious. Yeah, B. Shields?
Yeah, Brian
Shields.
No,
Brian S.
So we played on the same offensive line. We had lockers next to each other in college, and he was a manic depressant. Like, literally, he would be, like, bouncing off the walls, giggling, laughing, and then, like 10 minutes later, be, like, in his locker, being like, I want to kill myself. I hate life. And I was like, holy shit, dude, this guy's, like, a fucking emotional cornucopia of life. And, yeah, he was fucking, like, the spectrum was insane with that guy. I hope he grew out of that. That was fucking awful.
I'm sorry.
Dude, he also drank a lot of fucking Coke. So, like he had like a 2-liter bottle of soda a day. And I always remember thinking, I'm like,
nitrates.
I was like, dude, maybe cut the soda back, replace it with water. I mean, you're at this point, you're just sweating soda in football.
So back to the recipe.
Yeah. He had long hair too. And I used to call him Bon Shieldsy for like Bon Jovi. Bon Shieldsy. Yeah. College, stupid nicknames. That's where all the stupid nicknames are made.
Fact.
So if, okay. So like, take me through the process a little bit. You know, people obviously they, you know, at this point maybe have found Power Athlete through Power Athlete Radio, through Be the Hammer on Instagram, or maybe one of our training programs, and they're interested once they enter the training funnel, to quote my buddy Gary Vee. So they enter this kind of training, kind of like, I don't know, spaghetti bowl. And as they come out the spaghetti strainer on the bottom end, they start looking for nutrition. And usually the first stop is like, oh, hey, I'm going to get into a nutrition protocol. I should be able to do this myself. And then there's, you know, once they get it, they look at it. Okay, it's pretty simple. Here's the macros. Here's what I'm going to do. Now I got to do it. And then they probably, you know, bump their heads. Maybe they're not as consistent. And then they reach back out, or Sam reaches out to them. Hey, is there any questions that you help? And then, you know, we throw out the offer of like, have you thought about one-on-one nutrition coaching? Would you say that's like the standard life cycle for most people? Or do you feel that like some people just come in hot? I'm looking for one-on-one nutrition coaching. I need this. I need the help. Or is there like an actualization, like a realization phase? I can't do this by myself. Because I'll tell you, like, it's extremely difficult. And I was trying to explain this to somebody the other day. where, you know, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And my comment to him was, if you were going to do it, you would have already done it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've listened to this same conversation over and over again. If you were going to do it, you would have already have done it. So like, what's going to be the change? What do you need? And at that point, people raise their hand. I need a lifeline. I need support. I need somebody to text me to make sure that I'm in accountability. And what's kind of funny is years ago, did you guys ever read Anthony Kiedis' book, Scar Tissue? It was Anthony Kiedis, lead singer for Red Hot Chili Peppers, wrote this, you know, like killer, like such an interesting biography. The guy had like the most like ridiculous upbringing and just super impactful. But he was a terrible heroin addict, shocker. And he like, you know, lost relationships and the whole deal. And somebody gave him this like really bitchin' dog. And he like all of a sudden like, you know, woke up every morning and like started feeling like he had to survive because somebody had to come feed his dog. And he got nervous that like, you know, what if I die? Who's going to take care of my dog? Who's going to feed it? Who's going to walk it? And like that, like lifeline, that anchor ended up kind of helping him at least towards the end of the book. I don't know how well, if he relapsed or whatnot, but in the book, like, hey, you know what? I might like have lost everybody, but I still have my dog and I still got to get up. And I feel like people sometimes need that extraneous anchor to allow them to reach their goals. Like for me, it could be like a bet, like we did 22 Jack Street or anything. I'm like, if there's money on the line or food or bragging rights or shit talking, I'm fucking in on that stuff. So I wonder, when you guys had people reach out, is it more like, I technically don't know how to do this, or is it more like, I need you to be my anchor so that I don't drift away and I can reach this goal?
For me, it's 50-50. I have some people that don't know anything and they just want to start from scratch. And then I have a handful of clients that are performance coaches, CrossFit coaches. Some people have even done nutrition classes or certifications and they're like, yeah, I know everything, but I want to know what to do. I want to be able to have you as a resource to ask questions throughout the week. But then some people, like I had to recently tell a client, hey, you know, I understand you're drinking, you know, your latte in the morning, but she was getting double chai, which is like the sugar chai powder. And I'm like, let's just start with a single chai. Like we don't need two scoops. So
what
it's the whole
chai?
Spectrum. It's a blend. It's a tea, right? Chai tea.
I have no fucking idea. I hear people order it.
So good.
I have no fucking idea what it is.
It's like Christmas in a cup, is how I explain it, but it's just a bunch of spices. But when you get it from like a Starbucks or wherever, there's just a bunch of added sugar, so it tastes delicious. And then you can get espresso in it. It's my cheat drink when I get one. But so I don't get it from Starbucks.
So when you guys, this is just a little sidebar because you guys know I love tangents. So the other day, it was on Friday, I went over to Summer Moon, which is this bitch in a little coffee shop that has some really good, actually, when they roast their coffee, they smoke it. So it's kind of a smoky flavor. Mm. So I go in, like I'm super basic. I get a large Americano, four shots.
In a pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, well, actually, they just have pumpkin spice. I get them to spray on me like they do at the at the airports where they just spray it. You walk through the mist of pumpkin spice. That's what I really
want. What? Do they really do that?
No, but that's like in my... See, you have no idea what's going through my mind. Like, as I'm walking in, I'm like, I just want to walk in here and just have people just spraying pumpkin spice as I get to walk through it. That's all I really want. So as I go in, I'm like waiting, and there's like maybe six or seven people in front of me. Normally, when I go in there, it's super quick. Unfortunately, it's the holidays. So people have these fucking, like, abnormally long, weird fucking coffee requests. It took me 20 minutes to get through that line. I finally walked over, and like the lady looked at me, and because I tend to go in there once a week. She looked at me, she's like, sorry, it's the holidays. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? She's like, I don't even know where they come up with this stuff. Like, there must be an internet site to ask for this ridiculous shit. And yeah. I looked at her and she was like, same thing. I'm like, same thing. And then she fired it right up for me and I got the fuck out of that place. But it's pretty interesting the fact that like people go into the holidays and like these like $22 drinks that have like 1,500 calories. And it's like, oh, I'm just drinking my coffee. It's fucking unbelievable. Sorry, Sam.
No, you're fine. My one client told me she goes through and I'll go like twice a day. And I'm like, I know what you're getting. So that's at least $14 or $15. I'm like, you add that up over 5 days. I'm like, there's an additional, you know, personal training session with me. If you just cut out your coffee, you can come four times a week. Yeah. Three.
And then you know what I'll do? I'll make you some hot Folgers.
Yeah. I'm like,
dirty Folgers. It's Folgers with a shot of espresso. Because a dirty chai is that tea with espresso.
Do they have a Folgers at Starbucks?
No, at the Flaherty's they do.
Oh, that's one of their patented things. You walk in and you get a dirty
Folgers. Dirty Folgers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, fuck. All right.
Dirty Mike and the
Boys. Yeah, go to Southern Pines, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Dirty Mike and the Boys. That's what Tex and his buddies from college, that's what their group chat's called.
How'd you know?
Because I'm always like, who's Dirty Mike and why are you texting the boys?
Yeah, we're real into soup kitchens.
God damn it, that movie's fucking underrepresented. That movie did not get the acclaim it needed, the other guys.
I know.
I'm still mad about that. That movie is fucking played like hit after hit after hit. So, all right, sorry.
Coaching.
Tex, you are good at awkward transitions.
I know. Like, the next representative of California. The importance, we also encourage coaches to have a coach. So you as an individual giving so much of your time, energy, and effort that you fall off. Example, if we look at nurses, some of the most unhealthy individuals ever. Smoking cigarettes, eating crap, $14 dirty chais. They, however, then take care of everyone.
Mm.
So a coach needs a coach in reference to their nutrition to do the heavy lifting for them to then empower their performance and put them in the best position to do what they do best.
How far do you guys get down the rabbit hole in terms of training? Are you guys asking them like, hey, are you just kind of keeping them consistent or is there recommendations or like, do you find that a lot of them are following like the Power Athlete training programs?
Yeah, most people are on a Power Athlete training program. And if they're not, I somehow segue them most of the time onto one.
Sam's thanks. Like, well, have you seen all the Power Athlete training programs? Here's one. Try a slide of me.
But it's like that accountability in Train Heroic when you're clicking and checking the boxes, I find that that motivates people. And then we can have conversations about training. And even if I'm not currently on, I don't know, Johnny Water, whatever, I can still access the workouts and know exactly what their demands of the program are. So we talk a lot about that. And, you know, not everybody can get 4 days a week. So part of the habits, which Rob is as well, but we're huge on habits like sleep hygiene, water, being mindful when you eat, just different things would be working out. So like, hey, did you hit your three workouts? Did you go on a walk? Did you, you know, take the stairs instead of the elevator? Like those sound silly, but they bringing awareness to like your daily activity is so much more important almost than the hour you spend in the gym.
So. Yeah. Almost everybody is on a Power Athlete program. And so it also kind of depends on, you know, what their goals are. And sometimes we talk about how to maybe tweak it for them based off of certain things. If they're, you know, just coming back from a long layoff or something like that, I will definitely give them some advice that way. But I think one of the things that Sam said there was really important is, definitely checking in on their activity too, because that's all part of the caloric balance, right? So, you know, if they're other than that 1 hour a day or a little over an hour, if they're doing a program, if they are sedentary, we also talk about get up and move a little bit, walk a little, you know, maybe go for a long walk, just to boost that daily activity, because that's also part of it. So,
yeah.
Well, what are some mistakes that people make in terms of their behavior?
Where do you start? Biggest,
yeah.
What were some
are you talking about habits? That,
well, no, I mean,
like working with us.
Well, they've already established $14 lattes.
Well, I mean, how do you guys start building in the mindset? Is it like my mom, where you're just constantly nagging somebody into compliance? Which actually works
sometimes.
With some people. Yeah, sometimes. But I mean, is it like the idea of like empowering them through information, arming them with this? Or is it more just pointing out like, hey, you know what, like this is going to be the process. You're going to have some pitfalls. we're going to get through it, and almost like setting up expectations.
Yeah, it's all the above, right? It's again, it kind of depends on the person. Some people need to be nagged. Some people need to have a daily reminder. Some people only need the weekly reminder. It just really kind of depends on who they are as a person and how they respond. And a lot of times I don't necessarily like to beat people over the head. That's not necessarily my nature. But it's more about, hey, what do you think about this whole thing? Have you noticed that this is happening? And it's really drawing attention to let them kind of figure that out. Right. Similar to someone moving, you know, hey, how did that feel? Did it feel right? You know, are you, what do you feel when you're doing this? It's very similar to just straight up coaching movement, because they're kind of two sides of the same coin, really, based on habit, based on practices, based on your own perception. So, you know, they need to be, that's why earlier I was saying, you know, people need to be part of the process. They need to understand where they are and where they're coming from and what they're doing that they don't realize they're doing. And that's where, mm-hmm. that's where we come in as coaches to point those things out. Sometimes gently, sometimes with a hammer, right? Just depends.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that I find is, never mind. I'm just going to stick with this one. There's a lot of mistakes. People go like full bore into it, which is what we want as coaches, right? We want you to be excited. We want you to be engaged, communicating with us. But a lot of times when it comes to changing the way your body looks, you're doing a program and then you kind of are like, oh, I can add in a little bit of bike work. I can add in, you know, a second workout. I can cut my calories even lower. And that's not what we want. Our goal here is longevity. So as much as I would love to work with my clients for years on end, the goal and the way I approach my clients is like, hey, I want to give you the toolbox so that you might just need to check in with me once every 3 months for maybe a tweak on habits or a little bit of a motivational chat for an hour or something. But I'm thinking of a particular client and, you know, she was doing Jack Street, added in biking 3 times a week. She was going to school, has 4 kids, and was working full time and following her macros to a T, like logging Crystal Light packets and Element packets. So we had to I had to back her off, right? I'm like, I love the enthusiasm, but let's make this sustainable.
Well, I mean, for a woman like her with 4 kids, which I can't even imagine, working full time, doing all this, they almost like, and I see this a little bit with my wife, like almost like the more detailed everything is, the easier it feels to handle it all. Because you're like micromanaging all these pieces to the point where like I don't know how women with like a gang of kids, like, I mean, like just like the amount of like laundry, you know, and like 3 kids and this, I mean, it's so much. That I think people have no concept of, like, I mean, until you're in the throes of it where you got a gang of kids, you're working a job, you got this, you're trying to take care of a house, you know, and then you start throwing other stuff like fitness and cooking. And, you know, I mean, we have friends like we were at a Wade's Army function and this mom who's the daughter rides with Killy at the barn. And so I was talking to them, more the mom was talking. They have not cooked a meal or eaten at home in over 2 years.
Wow.
They've eaten.
Well, it's like decision fatigue.
For like 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, my kids, you know, Isla's 8 months, Marin will be 2 on Sunday. And sometimes Connor will get home from work and he's like, hey, you know, what are you like, not asking me to cook for him, but I'll be like, what are you thinking for dinner? And I'm like, I don't know. Don't ask me these questions. And so what do we eat? Burgers. Like we throw them in the broiler and put some cheese and throw some frozen french fries in the air fryer, salad. And like, we probably eat that 3 times, 4 times a week because that's what we do.
Every time I go to like anywhere, I try to buy like a roast and I put that in the Instapot. Like that's like a staple now, like 8 yeah. in the morning, Instapot. And like that's what we had last night for dinner. And so like last night, Killy had riding, and then she had gymnastics. Cashie had swim. Jamie had swim. And then Jamie had basketball. So I like took two kids to swimming, went to basketball, trying to like towel them off in the car, get Jamie in there, like in her basketball clothes, take him in. Then we get home and it's like 7:30 at night. And I'm like, oh, thank God. And so I'm like over there, like basically like cutting off meat, putting in a plate, putting salt. And they're like, aren't there any sides? I'm like, you can make yourself a salad. I just didn't have time for it. And, my wife's like, Killy this, and then she got to go to riding. And so we kind of, riding and then gymnastics. And it's just like, and what was wild was that certain parts of the year you can make it work. But now all of a sudden there's like, for some reason, it takes 20 to 30 minutes to go 4 miles, up the road off of 71 where the gymnastics place is. Like, I don't know where this fucking, it's right. Just like.
Drip. Moxie. 12. No traffic.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's wild. But man, the element of kids is one thing, but then when they get to the age, and Rob, you're past this already, where they're, in the throes where like there's so much in terms of like, events like sports and this and teams, and so like Saturday I'm coaching basketball, Sunday I gotta go to basketball. So we have all these and then you have all their sports stuff, so it's just kind of like just adding more and more shit layers it in. And but what are you not gonna do it? You're like, no, sorry kids, mom and dad are tired of driving and need to get their workouts and do their macros, so no fucking sports for you.
It's not like that.
No, it's not like that, unfortunately.
So we'll that kind of segues in a lot of questions we get is on meal planning. So if you can prep the food as plain as possible, that's my recommendation, because then you can just add whatever sauce or seasoning you want. So if you cook a bunch of chicken thighs, which normally our problem is we cook and then we consume it all. Like Connor, I'm sure you're the same, John. I'm like, how did you just eat like 3 pounds yourself? I have one little, I don't know, our food bill.
You got to weigh his food before you give it to him. So I did this the other day. If I don't weigh it, because I'll be like, oh, that looks like about 10 ounces. And 4 pounds later, Kate's like, dude, that was 4 pounds of meat. We ate it all. I'm like, oh, fuck. And then
I know. I look at Connor. I'm like, stop. I need this. I'm hungry.
But the other one is whatever we make for dinner, there has to be enough for the kids' lunches the next day.
Yes.
So there's always this kind of eyeball. And I'll be like, how much do these kids get to eat? And so I'm always watching, hovering. I'm like, and it just makes sense, because Kate's like, well, if I knew you were going to eat more than 10 ounces, I would have cooked this. I'm like, fuck. So no, there's definitely what you got to do is weigh it out for them ahead of time and be like, this is all you're getting, you fucking animal. And then
that's what I need to do.
Put it in his dog bowl and push him outside and shut the door on him.
And sometimes he'll eat the leftovers for breakfast. And then I go in for leftovers for lunch, and I'm like, lack of a better word, I'm just motherfucking him underneath my breath to the girls. I'm like, there's no food. I mean, yogurt and a protein shake again.
You're like, daddy's a selfish son of a bitch.
Yeah. And
I've got a teenager that's growing and will eat the shit out of stuff. And he'll put back I'll go to make my lunch to take to the gym, and I like to put rice in there. And that motherfucker will leave the empty fucking container in there. And I'll be like, God damn it.
Yeah, that's the worst.
So my wife's new deal is she is basically collecting all the empty containers, and she's going to wrap them up and give them to the kids as Christmas gifts.
And, are they going to be moldy? The one was ice cream, wasn't
dude,
it?
Dude, yeah. And the funny part is I'm like, good. She's like, you're a gross abuser. I'm like, not of that stuff. I'm not an ice cream person. That's not my deal. So I'm sure I'll get other stuff, which I think will be funnier, because I'm just going to get her a bunch of jewelry boxes and wrap them up and be empty. I'm gonna put a piece of rice in there or something, or maybe piece of spaghetti. Man, we'll see what
empty
happens.
Empty gift card sleeves.
So I won't ever see you again after Christmas. Yeah. Is what you're telling me.
You're like, why is the home up for sale? I can get rid of this rotten son of a bitch.
Show up. This whole fucking studio's packed up.
This whole place got burned to the fucking ground.
There's just a note on the door. Text if you're reading this. It's too late. I'm at the Motel Inn, room 112.
Just gone fishing. The sign's fucking angled. Oh, fuck. Without me, this place, what would happen? She would sell it, and then we'd be out of a house. We'd be out in a motel.
We'd be back in recording Powerhouse Radio in a kitchen. Like a good old days.
I always think of that every time I see Rudy Reyes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a good one. We might have to reboot that episode.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug. Yeah.
The day Rudy Reyes almost died with a barbecue poker. That's what I refer to that day as.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had Rudy on the podcast, and he somehow had a transcendental moment and almost tried to kill us, and then we almost had to kill him, and then we did the podcast. It was great. And he's like, man, that was a really intense podcast.
Episode 215.
Yeah, we were just babies then. We didn't even know what we were doing.
If you really want, this is for our listeners, to experience all that is Rudy Reyes on Power Athlete YouTube, we have his 2017 Power Athlete Symposium presentation.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'll tell you everything you need to know about this man.
That was
my first symposium, and I was like, what's going on?
I was sitting there with Woodski, and Woodski turns to me. He's like, I don't know this. I don't know where this is going, but it's going to be good. And then like later on, he turns to me and he's like, if there was a spaceship outside with David Bowie piloting, you think everybody would go get on it? I'm like, yes. He's like, I'd be on the front seat. And that's all you have to know. God, that was fucking great.
I'm trying to pull up the title of said presentation.
Nobody knows.
No, it's pretty awesome.
He was talking about donut bullets.
Space athlete or something, wasn't it?
He was talking about donut bullets. There was a spaceship. There was David Bowie.
Short shorts, cut off sleeves, flannel.
That was a woman's shirt. So Rudy took a woman, the smallest woman's shirt we had, took scissors. And then, you know, he's his own costume maker. So he went back and basically put his touches on that shirt. So he had just the right, likes him just the way he likes him. Finds women's clothes fit much better. So in the podcast he did, he was wearing women's jeans. How do I know? Because they don't make women's capri or men's capris with pink hearts embroidered in them. All I know is I had some dudes who were listening to that podcast and didn't know Rudy and were like, was that for real? Were you guys fucking around? Was that all staged? And I'm like, no, that was 100% real. And they were like, Jesus, that is insane.
Well, so. It's constructing your spiritual spacesuit. Well, his, and this is some backdoor stuff, his secret to looking so vascular during his presentations, just a little red wine before.
Mm.
Yeah, bodybuilders will do that.
Yeah, a little swing oil. So we were witnessing a single glass of red wine, Rudy, and all that is.
He also had a dip in. He had a huge dip in. And he did not spit for the entire hour. Did you know that? If you know, he's got a huge fucking chew in. He's got a huge dip, and you just see him like breathing through his nose, and I'm like
absorbing.
He's just fucking. He hasn't. I saw him throw it in, and he didn't have a spit cup, and he didn't spit the entire time.
Oh, it's like, in there. I didn't notice that.
Oh fuck, that's what I was tripping out on. I was like, this dude threw in a huge dip, and it's just been swallowing it for. That guy's fucking. That's the most impressive part of that whole talk. So
I'll link that up in the show notes.
Yeah, you should. So if people are curious about getting nutrition coaching done, what's the easiest way? I mean, obviously, go to the website. They can send an email to Sam Flaherty at Power Athlete HQ, Rob Exline at Power Athlete HQ, and we'll link up their emails. You can just go on, you know, powerathletehq.com, go to the nutrition tab. There's a ton of different access points to get to these guys. But if you are interested in nutrition coaching and you've gotten to the point where you've beat your head into the wall over and over again, you haven't met your goals, and you're thinking, I can't, or I can do this on my own, but it would be a lot more fun and a lot better a process and more enjoyable if I had somebody to help me. I think you reach out to Rob and Sam and at least book a consult or, you know, book some time to talk to one of these guys and just see what it's all about. I will think that if getting in shape and meeting your goals is what you want to do, especially coming out of this 2021, I think Rob and Sam have an incredible skill set to help you get there. So if you need more information, just reach on out, nutrition@powerathletehq.com, and we'll get you in the right place. So thanks, guys, for tuning in to another episode of Power Athlete Radio.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.